Dumelang Thobela, hello and welcome back to the So It's in Life podcast. Today, I'm your host. My name is Gwena Mashale. I'm a reporter here at So It's in Life, and I'm joined by my two colleagues, Hammond Moloi as well as Nandi Ntini. Can you guys say hello for the people?
Hi.
Thank you guys for joining us today. I hope you guys stick with us as we look at the week's biggest stories, talk about the controversies, and laugh about the weird ones, especially the ones that we saw this week in terms of the cabinet and our ministers. I mean, can you please tell me how to spell conscientiously? Just reference. I mean, we all went to school like it. But no, honestly, let's just actually just focus on the cabinet, guys. There were some interesting new members that came up, eh? I mean, let's talk about Gayton McKenzie being the Minister of Arts and Culture. And then you have Angie Mitsuka being the Minister of Defense. No nothing. But hey, that one, I must say, Cyril must explain to us how that came to be.
It's very bad, eh? I thought Angie's going home.
I also thought she was going home. Yeah, I mean,
on Monday I was in Soweto. I was doing voice pops. There was this lady, so I was asking her, "Who's staying out for you?" You know what? I'm happy with the cabinet, but Angie, Angie must come and let's go and register ourselves for SASA.
Much as yes, we want women to be in leadership. But I feel and think and believe that Umam Angie Motshekga, before at age 69, for her to be in the military and defense, because there's parade that needs to happen.
She's old.
She is definitely old. There were even some people who were arguing that, guys, Angie Motshekga, every time there was a reshuffle, a cabinet reshuffle, she always had a job. She moved from one job
there's
to another.
There's no way Cyril is going to exclude her. It feels like...
There were some people who were even arguing, no man, Angie must have something on Cyril. She must have something.
Yeah, she must. I mean, even when Cyril is out of the country and deputy is out of the country, you hear that Angie has been appointed as like acting president.
It's very funny. I mean, there's one clip on TikTok of them comparing the ministers of other countries to Angie Motshekga. You have the Minister of Defense in Russia, Minister of Defense in USA, and then you have Angie Motshekga there.
And you can see
Cyril is not taking us seriously. The defense team, I know.
And you can see that the ministers in other countries, like, they are young, vibrant, and they have that order, the marching order.
Mm.
But not only when do you they come have to that... Angie, you remember that 7 trillion. So it seems like, hey, we're going to take long to fire shots at other countries.
I mean, she's the same person that said, no, she's not a soldier. What do you mean you're not a soldier, but now you're the Minister of Defense?
I'm not a soldier. I'm not going to fight. So I'm the head of policy. I work on the basis of the policies of the governing party, working with a team of experts. So even in education, I was not teaching. I was working at the policy level. So to say I should be in the army as if I was going to be in the classroom, I was not even in the classroom then.
If you compare her to the other countries, some of them have been in battle, guys. Yeah. They've worked up the chains, they've worked up the ranks.
And I think that's how it works in terms of defense. You need to know the rule. Yeah. You need to know how the soldiers works in order for you to reach that state.
I mean, that can also be argued, the Minister of Police, Senzo Mchunu. Last time I checked, his background is education.
He's a teacher. And again, we have seen the state of infrastructure in terms of water and how he failed. I like to say he failed because, I mean, we saw Hamans Kraal, we experienced water shading last year. Mm. We saw a couple of things wrong with water, and then now you're taking him to a position that has been always failing.
It's
Bekele failed, literally. We see that the crime stats are high. Murderers, rapists, every day.
Exactly. Even when they have the quota briefings and stats, they always want to paint it as if they've done a really good job. But the numbers are always saying, you're not doing a good job. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't be happy just because there were 7,000 killings between March and April and say, no, we've done a good job.
It's very bad. And I don't know. South Africa needs to take something serious. Because, I mean, even when you look, when you report about murders, people take it light as a joke.
Mm.
Say, when you report about someone, they'll say, "Hi, she's better than who?
Whoever."
Mm. Why do you have to say that?
I think also it's because maybe it's our new normal. We've gotten used to such things now. We're just saying, okay, at least Rosemary did this. What about this one?
Yeah. I think I was telling a friend of mine, it's just that we don't take things seriously as we should be doing. True. I mean, when you look at, even when you look at the cabinet itself, when they were being sworn in, there were jokes going around in the cabinet. They were laughing. They were laughing at the top of their lungs. Some of them were even falling over their seats.
And to perform the functions of my office conscientiously, and the best of my ability.
Conscientiously. Okay. We'll get it right. We'll get it right. Conscientiously. Yes.
Conscientiously.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Okay. You take a seat.
The last time a judge asked me to sit, he made me sit for 10 years.
I intend to hold my office as minister with honor and dignity, to be a true and faithful counselor, not to divulge directly or indirectly.
There's a problem, President. There's a problem.
Any secret matters.
We as a country, we don't take it. We don't say anything. We proceed to also joke in that process of calling President Dikap Keiki. You know, we go as far as making videos of Njimutseke and like having the Santa Sarafina sound in the background. Like, we don't take things as seriously as we should. And then we still argue, no, the president should take us seriously.
But then again, I believe that as South Africans, we are like, hey, I mean, the word democracy should be studied in Africa. Like, for real, it's like that. I mean, you can call a president cupcake and you'll love it. You see, and we saw that ANC lost the majority. In other countries, you'll have heard that there's police in the streets. Yeah, they are calling for the election and everything. But here we are proceeding to the 7th administration. So for me, I believe that democracy is working for us. We might be using it extra, but then the word democracy should be studied, or should be South Africa, should be changed, because I mean, we are doing well in terms of freedom of speech, rights, human rights.
Although, I mean, even looking at our coalition, that is a democracy in itself.
It's
a very step forward.
It represents something in our country.
We are kind of having progress, you know, as the youth, we've been saying, oh, no, we want young people in the government. The young people are there now. Clap hands for them. They're there. And now, but now it seems as if people are against the young people who are now there. You have and she's there. But now you have Satu now against her completely. They are now even planning to do on strikes. But what's the problem, though?
I mean, you wanted this young person there.
She has not even started. She literally
but then you are already protesting.
I mean, you have the minister, the new minister of home affairs as well. He's also making, did you see, he's saying, oh, no, he's going to eradicate the backlog now. And like, we're like, okay, you know, something is happening.
The one I have to clap hands for who took charge is the one who public works, who said, you know, guys, ministers are no longer going to run. That one, at least our tax will not be misused. So I'm happy for the guy. I wish he can say, let's drop the salaries of ministers. And then, you see, that money can go to the to the education system.
Exactly. Now, when you're talking about money going to the education system, did you hear Gaten says he wants to donate all of his money?
I saw.
That's a great initiative.
Mm.
But then also I'm thinking, it's a foundation, right? As much as I believe in foundations and stuff, mm-hmm. but then I think there are more serious things that we can do in terms of, like, we can improve our education system. Mm. We can help with CPFs. We mm. give them tools to work so that we can eradicate crime. Mm. And when you eliminate crime, that means you won't need foundations like that one. Yeah. Because that one established because of a missing kid.
Mm.
So if you have equipment to deal with your cameras, CCTVs, you have everything, that means the crime stats will be low. And then,
I mean, when you talk about the crime stats being low and having CCTV camera and everything, that CCTV camera always worked though. Because, like, there's many crimes that are committed in South Africa in front of CCTV camera. You know, example, AKA situation.
You know, the challenge is that, that thing, you know, I don't want to be impimpy. I think that's the problem. I mean, literally, there's someone who has seen that person before or even after. So if, like, we had that thing, you know, I want to fight crime, you can go to the police and say, you know what, I saw Gwena go arena. She's at arena and you can find her there.
I think speaking on the CPF thing, I think they are the ones that should be reporting crime. But if there's no funding for them, they also stay up late at night. And I think it was yesterday when I saw something in Alex that the CPF have just put their hands down and said they are not going to take care of the streets anymore. And the crime has went up.
Yeah. But at the same time, I think you're right.
So you can add that.
I was going to say that I think you're definitely right in the sense because there are situations where sometimes even your family members, they know you're doing something wrong, but they will continue to keep it silent. Yeah. I mean, looking at the 19-year-old who was abusing his grandmother.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at the small details that we get from the police statement that we got from Athlenda Mate, she's like, no, the video is from June, but that it was a matter that the police were called to the scene, and when they got to the scene, nothing, the family did not want to say anything. There was nothing they can do because the family was like, no, we're going to deal with it with ourselves. And what the police can't do anything. They can't force the family to say, speak. So what, they eventually leave. So it's that thing, Yauri, how far? Because even families, I must not lie, black families, we like dealing with things by ourselves.
And it's never working.
Mm-mm. I mean, you're going to have a 19-year-old who's going to continuously beat you because you want to deal with it by yourself.
I'm glad you mentioned the word continuously. Because I believe that this is not the first incident, you know. You can see that this woman has had enough. You can literally hear her voice saying, you know what, kill me because you want to kill me.
I think let's just listen to the clip.
Kraaifontein police learned of a video that went viral on social media platforms where a teenager is seen assaulting a senior citizen and registered a case docket for the incident last night. The victim, who is from Wallerstein in Kraaifontein, was traced where she is being treated in hospital for an ailment not related to the assault, but she declined to submit a statement. Further investigation revealed that the incident occurred a month ago in June at the residence of the victim and that SAPS were summoned to the scene. But it is said that the family took the matter in their own hands and refused police assistance. The severity of the matter was realized when a video of the incident was circulating on the internet, and on this basis, SAPS intervened and opened up the case docket on behalf of the victim. The suspect, aged 19, who is the grandson of the victim, was arrested at his residence in Wallerstein last night, and he is scheduled to make a court appearance in Blue Down Magistrates Court once he has been charged. Crimes against women and children are on top of the SAPS's priority list, and we will not be turning a blind eye to any form of violence in this regard.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to that, it's very, without even seeing it, just the sound of it was just, it's very, very heartbreaking, and it's in all essence. Mm. I mean, the editors here, most of the editors here were like, they don't want to see it. They don't even want to hear it because of just the violence. Imagine beating someone who is your elder. I mean, Herman yesterday was on some no guys. I mean, even back when we were getting beaten by our parents, you try to shift.
In and they go like, trying to hit me.
So hearing this and seeing it, it's very difficult.
So another challenge with us black people, né, is that we let this thing happen.
Mm.
I mean, the person who took the video clearly knew what was gonna happen.
Mm. So
that's why he took the videos. You might find that he took the video last year or some years back, but then because it is continuing, he said or she said, enough, it's enough. Mm. Let me send it to my sister. And then that's when it got attention.
And you actually find that in most situations like this, the guy's probably not only abusing the grandmother only.
Yes.
It seemed as if that video was taken in June, meaning he probably abuses everyone in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got to a point where probably the guy who posted it was like, I'm extremely tired. It's the circumstances where probably he was actually getting worse and somebody was probably gonna get out of that house gas dope.
Yeah. Or the person who made the video to go on viral is actually a victim.
Mm,
you might find. I like to see how this case will play out because I strongly believe this is not the first incident. And I don't think, as you mentioned, rightfully so, that you might find that the old lady is not the only one who's being abused.
I mean, even if you look at it on a broader scale, the elderly in our country are not really treated with the essence of respect that they need to be treated with. They are not taken care of by the government or by the system. They are, half of the time, they are completely forgotten. And then it's only when something like this happens, then you get the Minister of Social Development saying, no,
the elderly are
supposed to be taken care of.
Yeah, our government officials are good at releasing statements.
No, they're definitely good.
If the job was releasing statement,
And also, they have to
face 10 out of 10.
And I think it's also in the rural areas where our old people, it's mostly they get raped. And they see the houses that they stay in, but still nothing is done.
I think the amount of times when you actually hear that an elderly person was raped, half the time they're actually raped by their own kids.
So
it's really sad. And it's like, as a person, you go and do that to your own grandmother. Why?
It's literally sad. One thing I wanted to add before we move to rape, that our elderly are abused. I mean, they are abused by officials. I mean, for example, you'll find an elderly queuing at the bank or at
Home Affairs
or something. You'll find her standing and like officials will be moving up and down. And, hey Joe, don't you see this lady? And then when you raise that, you are lying. I saw you. You moved a couple of times.
I mean,
it's that thing, you know.
It's a very difficult thing. Yeah. And when you were like, no, the government is very good at releasing statements. I think they're more reactive than proactive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't actually see the problems. Oh, they actually do, and they just don't do anything about them until something happens. Mm-hmm. And in situations like this where a 19-year-old is beating up his 70-something grandmother, and then you proceed to release a statement, and then after that you then say we are very much aware of the problems like this, and the communities need to be working together.
And
the communities can only do so much.
If there's an assistance from the government,
they can only do so much to assist. You need to also play a part in the matter. I mean, you can't expect a whole community to now come and beat an 19-year-old. And when that happens, what's funny is that you get saps that would say, no, don't take matters into your own hands.
Well,
but you were not doing anything. You were not doing anything. And we as a community, we were suffering and we were crying and we're telling you, umtwana is beating up ugogo. And you're not listening.
And really, when you are being fueled with petrol, you're going to explode. And that's how you explode. Exactly. You'll deal with matters your own hands.
Yeah. I mean, that's what leads to a lot of community mobs. That's literally what leads to a lot of community mobs. And then you are expected to feel bad for the community mobs. You're like, no, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to let the police. But when you actually go down, like we always go down, guys, when you go do these stories, you hear the community say, no, man, we've been complaining to the police.
And it's been happening, nothing. They spend one day in the cells and then they come back and then they come gloating because they know that they go and then come back and do the very same thing.
I mean, when you look at the world, like for example, when you look at the heritage site, I was speaking to Unandi a week back. But when you look at the heritage sites, they're very bad. They are taken apart by scrap metal and all these things. And I was talking to one of the girls there on who's a security guard. I must say she even appointed herself as the security guard for the heritage. And she says, no, we literally as a community would arrest them and we take them to the police station. Mm-hmm. But literally the next day they're out. They're out and they're on the street and they're doing the same thing we're trying to protect. Mm-hmm. And it's like, then what are we doing then as the community? We're trying to help you police and literally put it in your hands. But
and you know what's funny is that our police are friends with these criminals. Honestly,
they are in their payroll.
I'm not gonna say they are bribing them, but they are friends. You can literally see when friends are friends. It's sad how police can have this informal conversation with a criminal and Xemiprada using their own language and they end up saying, that man is a cool guy.
Yeah.
And obvious, once they describe you as a cool guy, they won't disrespect you.
They won't.
Yeah. I'm not saying be violent because you're a police officer, but then have some...
I think be a police officer. Like, just do... When I'm having conversations with people, do your job.
Yeah.
As expected as I'm expected to do my job. I'm a journalist. I'm supposed to go out and get stories. You, as a police officer, you must go out and kidnap. And arrest people and protect the community. Yeah. It's the same thing with the firefighter. A firefighter will go out and extinguish the fire, you know. Obviously, sometimes maybe the firefighter does not get there on time. Or the firefighter is not called onto the scene. Like our very famous video of Skimsam lady and her house being burned down.
So, guys... I'm just concerned, guys.
Kevin.
So your house is burning, right?
Mm-hmm.
I need to be slow on this one. Your house is burning, and then you have a photographer. Mm. That photographer is not calling the fire extinguisher. Is not calling anyone. He's busy or she's busy capturing you as you move. She wants all the angle, or he wants all the angle. And your house is on fire at that time.
On fire. I think what has people kind of confused is that when something like this happens, when a disaster is happening, people are crying. You are trying to scramble to get what you can from the fire.
Togo was after content.
Again, when there's fire. You'll find us going with baguettes up and down,
Nothing was done.
You guys are hiking and crying like, wow.
There was no baguettes.
At first I was wondering, who's this Romeo and Juliet and which movie is this? But when they said a house is on fire, I was like,
I was completely confused. And for a while, obviously, everybody was like, it's very bad. Oh my gosh, you're so sorry. Yeah. But then people just started rising up. Guys,
what really transpired here?
These ones think it actually Skimsam in real life because it does not make sense.
So I'm not sure if I saw the original video. West part, it has music. So you see that it went to editing.
I did not know that music.
I'm not sure if I saw the real one or the edited one, but the one I saw, you can see that there are pictures, there are like shots that were taken out, and then combination of
there was editing.
And I'm very impressed with the editing skills. It's a very
controversial topic. Everybody was talking about it before, ever since it came out. My thing is also, They are saying, no, their argument is that, no, the house is renovated. That's why it's like that. So there's the, because there were a few pictures that came out. There were people like, guys, this is the same house that's been down. So now, but now everybody's like, no, guys, they renovated the house. You can even see in her videos they were doing. Yeah, Shab, you renovated your house, but was your house really on fire or what was going on, my guy? And on top of that, then your sister proceeds to go to H&M.
Yeah.
And says no, the H&M.
I need to hear that story. can you please start where she posted to H&M? Because I heard it, but then it was not here.
I saw it. I was also confused because you know it's on Twitter, it's on TikTok, it's on Twitter. People are like, but why do you feel entitled just because your house burned down? There are shacks burning in Alex.
Everywhere, there are shacks burning in Soweto.
Yeah. You don't see them going to Cotton On and H&M and saying, no, please give me a discount because my sister's going to something.
South African
celebrities are entitled.
Hey, dude,
it's so funny because I was talking to Nandi as well this morning, and it was just a matter of why do you feel so entitled just because a disaster happened to you? A disaster is forever happening in South Africa. I mean, KwaZulu-Natal, for example, is forever going through disasters, guys. But you don't see people from KwaZulu-Natal lining up to Gauteng and say, please give us houses, our house.
And even that incident in Durban, no one came and said donations. People are seeing themselves out.
Like, when anything is, it would seem insensitive of us saying this. But honestly, there've been worse things to happen.
Guys, I'm not going to speak about the donations and everything because I've not seen them. I'm just curious when did the plan to take the video actually come in mind? You know what?
True.
Our house is burning. Let's hug each other and then you take the video. That's the most interesting part of the whole thing.
It's the only thing that makes sense because apparently it is what it is. But guys, it's been a very eventful week. I mean, Tembi Nkosi bought a truck. You know, things are happening these days.
We are winning as young people. Some people are winning. We are in parliament. We are in trust.
It's good for South Africa. Yeah,
definitely good for the country. Mm. You know, we're progressing in some sort of a way forward. And we love to see it. And we hope that the next few weeks are great as well.
When we speak about cabinet, I need to say this. Are you aware how many young people are not aware of the procedure?
No, they're not.
Because I was doing reactions, I think on Monday. And I was like, my guy, did you see that President Cyril Ramaphosa has announced his cabinet? Mm. What is cabinet? I thought he's joking. And then I proceeded with questions, but you can see this guy is literally clueless. Does not know what's happening. So I'm concerned, guys, after voting, what are you expecting actually? I know you're expecting service delivery, but then who's going to deliver services? Is President Cyril Ramaphosa going to come and say, okay?
I was having a conversation with Jeanette, another colleague of ours, and it was a conversation on people don't really care about the processes in between as long as they get the service delivered at the end of the day that they want. So who is in power, who is not in power, as long as me, I get water and electricity, I'm good.
But then you jump when they appoint
NGS
defense.
That is true.
And then
you jump when they say there's 200 rand increase of electricity. And you're like, how did that come about? You don't even go from 0 to 50 rand, but you go from 0 to 200 in just one day. And you decide, no, that's how it is. And then the reasoning is, no, guys, it's because we need money for infrastructure. No, that is a lot. That is a lot.
City Power buys electricity from Kelvin and also Eskom. And it's put through from the power station. It is put through the transmission lines to our substations, and also from our substations through the transmission lines to the mini substations, the green boxes that are by the corner outside our houses, and so forth. And from there, it goes straight to the wall of our houses. So all of that needs money to basically move it from the power station, from the substation to the main substations, then through the low voltage network to the wall of the house. So at the wall of the house, all of that is paid for by City Power. It's called capacity charges. It's also about maintenance, what we pay to basically make sure that we maintain the infrastructure so that electricity can get to the wall of the house. So that is basically what is happening currently with City Power and basically the work that we do. Now, the customer who is on prepaid is not paying for that. In the past, they were not paying for that. The only people that are paying for that are customers in postpaid, the conventional meters, who receive bills at the end of the month. So they will use electricity in the bill. There are service charges, there is capacity charges, and so forth that are expected to be paid. That is a bit unfair if you think about it, because it means there are customers category that are actually paying for electricity.
And what's funny is that we did a story on it. If you checked out our pages, we did a story on it, and it was a matter of
a fun page story.
It was definitely a fun page story. And there were political parties that actually voted for the surcharge. Yes. I think we should all just take a quick minute or like a quick second to just guess which of the political parties had voted for it.
If I didn't know, I would say TA,
mm-hmm.
and then I would say Action SA, because mm-hmm. obviously they believe in privatization.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But then I was caught by surprise
when I saw EFF.
I saw EFF was shocking to exactly. everyone. You as a socialism party voting for 200 rand more.
Our Amanda parties are the ones. I was like, I boo.
Like ANC, there was even, guys, there was also these other political parties that we don't know of. Eh? ATM was also there that was voting
don't
for
say
it.
You don't know ATM, guys. You know, I'm mad because this guy is the one who made Palapala famous.
Palapala famous, but yeah, he is saying 205. I mean, you're supposed to be for the people, but now it's showing you're against the people.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make sense. And on top of that, the 200 rand is not even the like I say, I'm going to eat. It's something that automatically is going to be going to you. And if I don't even eat 200 rand that month, you're going to deduct me next month. Do you imagine that is another struggle?
It's daylight abuse, robbery in South Africa. It's like as a
working class, we are being abused.
Mm. We are definitely being abused.
Government is abusing us. I mean, if you check minister's salary, it's 1.8 million per.
Like, they don't need that much money, guys. They really don't need that much money. They don't need it.
Because, I mean, you always eat for free when there's events.
Everywhere, all day.
Hey, you also eat for free when you go to their parties.
They get their free plane tickets. Everything is just.
And then they also get something for free. I mean, for us. I mean, if I have to go to an event in Sandton, I have to use my transport.
Mm-hmm.
One day I'm being transported. When I get there, okay, they might provide food.
Food. Mm-hmm.
Okay, sharp. I get it. But then later on, they get another food again.
Not even that. When you're going to food, I mean, look at just the transportation themselves. They have better, but you can get it, convoys. Yeah. They have convoys. And each car is a BMW, right?
Oh,
on top of that, do you know how much BMW is for petrol?
That's about the Missy Gates.
We're not going to make a test.
I mean, we have a lot of nice cabs that are affordable.
I'm just saying, you know, it's very, hey guys, you know, when it comes to cabinet money as well as the 200 for electricity, Mutlakas is getting. It's getting ridiculously expensive. Mm. Actually, living. The cost of living is exponentially. Yes, that's the word. And it's conscientiously difficult to continue living in this world. You know, living in South Africa, in Cyril's economy.
And what's funny is that in most cases, you pay for that electricity and you don't have electricity exactly. most of the time.
Exactly. Like, what am I paying for? Load shedding, guys. But hey, before we get load shedded, let's just call it a day, guys. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we hope you had a blast hearing us laughing and, you know, you were conscientiously aware of the topics we were talking about. This is the Sowetan Life Podcast. I was your host, Gwena Mashale. Until next time, goodbye.